And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Okay, I want to show you, here, yeah, we do the camera. All right. We got a load of bumper stickers, you know, and this one I really like. All right, take a look. Here, what it has is we have the skull from Pirates Without Borders logo. And it says, just acquire. Well, like, just do it, the Nike thing. Well, this is in response, you know, Davi and I, we were having some fun. And what it is it has the Nike swoosh upside down with a pirate head on the front. And it's the outline of the Precariat. You know, this looks just like the Precariat from the side. And we got, yeah, just do it, just acquire. You know, because it was when we were doing the property thing, it's always, just acquired property. Well, you have your just acquired property. Just, you know, define just. You know, by what? The crown? You know, so we go, all right, just acquire. You know, so we're just like, we kind of avoided that phrase, justly acquired property. Justly, according to whom? I mean, you know. So this is, you know, but we got, oh, and then we got them in different colors. Oh, yeah. You got the, you know, orange on black. Yeah. So then we just did a bunch of, you know, a few, you know, we have a purple one because, you know, pirates like purple. And then the yellow with the black, you know, that's kind of cool. And then we got a red one and we just did. And then, of course, Pirates Without Borders, you know, these are laptop stickers. And then Make Trouble, Not War. You know, this is Reprisal. That's her thing. Then we have some quotes from different, you know, science fiction authors and activists and so on. And this one, ignore racists, breed hybrids. Well, this is kind of, you know, Davi really like, you know, fight racism, breed hybrids. That's how you fight racism, is breed hybrid. I'm like, nah, I'm not hip to that. But, you know, ignore racists, breed hybrids. You know, my one of my daughters, her husband is Hispanic. You know, we have a beautiful brown baby, Donna calls it our brown baby. So I'm just like, yeah, ignore races, breed hybrids, man. You know, we're very happy with our family. So I'm just, they can bite it. All right, and then some more quotes, and we have, maybe we'll go over these later. Oh, belay the state, you know, belay that order. And then, of course, oh, wait a minute. Against all flags. We're against all flags. And it has the yellow diagonal stripe and then black is the main background and then red. And I'm, all right, what's the significance behind this color scheme, Davi? And he says, well, you know, you have your anarcho-capitalist, they're kind of the yellow, and anarcho-communist, you know, they're the red. So I'm doing, it's kind of a left-right thing. It's a, you know, anti, you know, they, them, those things. So I like this, you know, the yellow on the black. And I got, you know, and this packet right here, I tell you what, I will go ahead and send this whole, one of the new, of each of the new ones that we got, I will send this to the first person that sends me an email to publisher@freedomsphoenix.com. I'll send you this whole pack. Okay, maybe some other goodies. You send me an email to publisher@freedomsphoenix.com. I want my free laptop stickers, and this is my address, and send it. Donna, put it in an envelope, and boom, done. There you got them. You win. No. Publisher@freedomsphoenix.com, and you get a goodie bag because I can. So we got a bunch of others, too. I'll throw in there. We'll get those out. Now, This is, I wanted to make sure this global internet thing, it looks like they did it yesterday, the upgrade. What it was is they, you know, the procedure for changing cryptographic keys has become necessary as a result of rising threats for the internet infrastructure. I'm like, yeah, like they care. You know, my thing is I know that it's going to make it easier for they, them, those to do something, you know, and all right. So it's more of the same. We got to get off to where it doesn't matter. I don't care what they say. You know, they did whatever you got sucked in. That's your problem. Well, this is happening. The technology, this is new cryptocurrency project targets. The gun industry, the gun business, what are they doing? The same thing that happened with marijuana, you don't have any banking. You can't do what, and they're going, yeah, they're going to try and shut down the gun industry. I already have. It was called Project whatever it was. And they went after all of the low-hanging fruit. If you had a gun manufacturer or your porn star, anything, no matter, it was legal. They just thought, you know, well, we'll get the, you know, first they came for, you know, this group and that group, and by the time they came for me, nobody was there to help, kind of thing. So they're going after all the, you know, the fringe of our society, and you're not allowed to have a bank account. So, God, what did they call that project? Whatever, it had a name. So this is an ability to be able to have settlement, you know, for purchasing of stuff at Amoland.com. The original crypto coin, OCC, announced today that they will be relaunching the ERC-20 token project on their own gun-friendly blockchain called TUSC, T-U-S-C, the Universal Settlement Coin, that blah, 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 blah. As gun owners and ardent defenders of the right to self-defense, we know that the gun industry is constantly under attack. We want to create a gun-centric crypto to act as a continuity of business payment system for gun retailers. Due to their decentralized nature, blockchain technology and cryptocurrency simply cannot be shut down. So they got like activist banks. This is a, so, oh, I tell you, I don't know how much they want. Yeah, they shouldn't have told me. I don't keep secrets. One of the ATMs here, Bitcoin, we went to one close by. I think I talked about it earlier in the week. This, Monday or something. We went to, you know, all right, let's go through. And oh, it's definitely know your customer. They want your phone number so they can send you a text with a number to enter in to get access to get your cash from the machine, the ATM. And it gives it right away. You know, you don't have to wait for confirmation or something. It goes and sees on, you know, the blockchain, the mempool, and I guess they're happy, and boom, here's your money. So I'm going, really? Well, they just had a visit to one of their merchants that has one of these Bitcoin machines in. Guys walk in, flash their FBI badge. Ah, nobody's in trouble. You know, it's all good. It's perfectly legal. We're good. It's perfectly, just like the judge kept saying in Morpheus. Perfectly legal. Perfectly legal to sell, own, buy, share, do. Perfectly legal. Crypto, perfectly legal. But the man's here wanting to ask some questions. So what were they asking? How many people come through here? What do they do? What do they do with the money? How much money do you know? And they go, hey, man, I don't know. It's a freaking machine over there. People go to it every now and then, whatever. You know, what do you care? You know? So they're definitely, we just wanted to get a beat on, you know, where we're going to catch people, where we need to put our surveillance cameras, where we, you see, it's just, they don't like you being outside the system. And it's going to be interesting. This next crash, you know, that we know is coming. Oh, we'll go over the economics here. Everybody's like, you know, the IMF goes, you know, there's a crash coming. You know, so saith the IMF, International Monetary Fund. We, you know, I guess it will now because we said it, you know. I'm like, ah. Now, this book, we talked to Richard Grove from Tragedy and Hope recently, in the last week or two, and he is working on a book that he always call these books that he finds, and he sees reference to them, and he'll go find them, and he'll go online, he'll go to bookstores in New York City or wherever he's got to go, and he finds, and he calls them artifacts. Let's go over this artifact. Well, this particular one was Salomon de Rothschild. This is the Rothschilds. He came over from Europe, goes during the Civil War. And they were like, well, let's go, you know, a casual view of America. The home letters of Salomon de Rothschild, 1859 to 1861. So it's right before the Civil War. See what he has to say. Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. No. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
This last night, it was a clip. What I got up there is Kanye West at the White House in the Oval Office. They meeting with his buddy Trump and wearing his MAGA hat and kind of, he's got, you know, he goes, I got hats. I brought some. Make America great. We don't got to say again. I know it's like a racial thing to get. No, it's, you know, again, when was it ever? He goes, all right, we'll just make it great. I got these. You want to wear this hat? I got this hat. You want that? You want to wear this hat? Wear this hat. Because if you could, I think, it's kind of like he wants to see Trump wear it at some event or game. And I'm sure he'll have Make America Great Again. He goes, ah, you know, Kanye gave me this one. I just got, yeah, I'll wear this for 3.2 seconds so you can get 15 billion memes out of it. So anyway, Kanye was there. And this is the Today Show, which is today, I think that's CBS. But the Today Show, I watched the full or the rant that he did. And I think they're going to include it here. Kanye was there with some other guy that was about education in the inner cities or something like that. And Kanye just went into a rant that, you know, the schools suck. You know, how come we don't have, this is what I've been yakking about. Here, when I go and I debated the chair, the head of the Arizona Education Association, the union, you know, the for all the teachers and so on. And it was a progressive thing, and they wanted to go beat up on some libertarians. I can't bring it on, you know. And so we went ahead and did that. And the thing I was going, how come we don't have apprenticeships anymore? How come we don't have, you got, you know, a parent that works at a large corporation, they don't have daycare slash school, and they get some money credit, and you got your kids right there, and they can learn. Oh, by the way, hey, we'll take a little bit off your tuition or pay you, you know, $2.83, and you come over here on the semi line and learn to do something. Child labor laws, guy. Oh, what if it's a school? You know, what if, I mean, the biggest problem is just, it's not them hiring people to do a job. It's hiring people, having to train them from all the crap they didn't learn in college. You know, this is really, even lawyers, you don't learn to be a trial lawyer. You don't get in a court, you don't nothing. Unless you're Harvard or Yale or something, they probably got a reputation for getting you ready. That's why law firms want Harvard law grads, because they already probably as good or better or well-trained or experienced as a lot of the people been there a year or two. So they're going, God, man, can we get a Harvard guy? So this is what Kanye was going on about, you know, kind of in a loose about way. It is in a free-form rant that he had going on here. Let's go ahead and see, I didn't watch this particular one, but we'll see what we get out of it. Kanye West in the White House.
I love this guy right here.
But it's West's 10-minute freewheeling profanity-laced monologue that's making waves. While sitting next to Football Hall of Famer Jim Brown, West praised President Trump.
Oh, Jim Brown.
Trump is on his hero's journey right now. And
He might not have expected to have a crazy like Kanye West.
And that red Make America Great Again hat.
It was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman.
At times, pounding the historic Resolute desk to make his point.
Manufacturing.
Freestyling on more than 40 topics.
It's a hydrogen-powered airplane. If he don't look good, we don't look good. So when I said I like Trump to like someone that's liberal, they'll say, oh, but he's racist. You think racism can control me?
The entire spectacle seeming to even leave the president speechless.
That was quite something.
At one point, West revealed he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but said he got a second opinion.
He said that I actually wasn't bipolar. I had sleep deprivation, which could cause dementia.
West raising eyebrows for some of his comments about race.
You know, people expect that if you're black, you have to be Democrat. I've had conversations that basically said that welfare is the reason why a lot of black people end up being Democrats.
Overnight, reaction pouring in.
This is white supremacy by ventriloquism. A black mouth is moving, but white racist ideals are flowing from Kanye West's mouth.
Still, for President Trump, who has his eye on the midterms and who struggled to win over African-American supporters, the visit by such a high-profile person of color could prove to be powerful optics. In these photos obtained by TMZ, West even convincing the president, Ivanka Trump, and Jared Kushner to wear Make America Great hats, saying the word again is offensive to some blacks. A surreal scene and an Oval Office first.
He's been a great guy. He's a smart cookie.
He got him to wear it.
And for his part, President Trump will put his focus back on the midterms.
Yeah, midterm. All right, that was, you know, it's got to piss off somebody. And who's his girlfriend? Kim Kardashian. They don't have enough Twitter followers. Oh, Kanye West deleted his Twitter account. He said, screw y'all. Boom, next. And wherever Kanye and President Trump go, that's going to be what other platform are they going to use? You know, Twitter's going to keep jerking with them. They'll go, and we're gone, and taking all these people with us. You know, and what does Trump have? Some ridiculous number. I mean, last count, it was like 40 million or some crap like that. The battle is on. It's on. Well, I think it's just beginning. And there's going to be ramifications at a local level of people going in, because who are they up against? All these progressives that have taken over at the lowest levels of everything. And even before that, they were taking over all of the bureaucratic positions, all the behind the scenes, all that. And that's been happening, God, my entire, you know, activist awareness years, 30 years. You know, this is what I'm. And you go, God, where does this come from? It's coordinated. And I've told a bunch of stories about how we know that, but it's, you think it wouldn't be? They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. So this kind of started back in the day. Well, this is what Richard Grove is going on about with Rothschilds. And he's doing research on Rothschild thing, and we got to help that a little bit with this genie energy thing that's going on in the Golan Heights in Syria. That's what's really put the neocons. They want, you know, I mean, it's not like for America. It's for them. Literally. My company found oil after getting a permit to occupied territory of Syria, the Golan Heights that Israel took over like 50 years ago. And the United Nations, nobody will recognize that it's theirs. They go, hey, we've been here 51 years. It's ours now. Damn it. Well, they went and found oil. Or natural gas, or both, or a bunch of resources, and they go, you really want to give it to Syria? You give it to Dick Cheney. Wow. Wow. Who are these guys being replaced by? When Dick Cheney dies, you know, what does that mean? You know, who fills his shoes? You know, McCain dies. Who fills his shoes? You know, is Lindsey Graham unleashed now to be, you know, not McCain? This is, if you've been around long enough to see this comedy play out, how do they get away with it? Initially, when I first started, the reason I did all the, you know, challenged all the election laws and, you know, got standing and filed suit and made a big deal out of this because there was an old, you see a young Ernie there on a PBS special that I did with here locally. And I figured out what it was. It was election laws. They eliminate competition before it starts. You may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. You can do, I see, this is where they regulate dissent. You're not allowed to participate. Hell no, you got to like sneak in and then you become them anyway. So I'm going, no, if you don't get elected on the concept, the idea in opposition to this stuff, then how the hell are you going to govern and make any changes anyway if you don't have the people behind you? Which is what the Trump thing is. That people, they're going, yeah, you're not them. Well, they want the Trump world of his whatever the hell vision is, or just you get to have your own plan. See, I'm sick of everybody else's plan. How about you got a plan that I get to have my own plan? I thought that was the deal. So I'm that's my deal. Whenever I do debates, and it's just so easy. You get up to these guys, and they'll do their the Democrat plan. The Republican, my plan is better than his plan. And then what's your plan, Mr. Libertarian? And I'll go to have your own plan. I'm here. You get to have your own plan. I don't what you want a better plan than what you got for you. You know, peace out. Well, you're not bothering my plan. You can do whatever you want. You know, so they're going. But then we have to think, because usually these audiences are, you know, liberal and their other candidates and all their guys and the press, and certainly, you know, if it's a teacher thing or something, man. But it's changing. I've been doing this 30 years, and I tell you, it's changing. That people are way more informed. They're ready to go, yeah, what that guy said. So, I mean, the more you're doing about process, or we're going to pass this amendment, or we're going to do this constitutional thing. This guy we're going to be talking to next week is doing this America thing. I could feel it. I go, oh. I go, what's your position on a constitutional convention? Well, yeah, that'd be good. We limit it to what we want to do. Kind of. I'm going, so you're of the opinion that you can limit a constitutional convention. Once you create the convention, that it can only do under certain things and one deal, and that's what you're saying. That's what you're advocating, right? Well, yeah. All right. But he doesn't know that I've done a bunch of interviews and know a bunch of the guys here locally that are part of the Koch thing and every one of their iterations about this very thing, and have them on for years on the show explain it to me. And they haven't convinced me that once you create the constitutional convention, once you're in convention, you can do whatever the hell you want. It's like the Libertarian National Convention. What they do is they have every off year, you'll have bylaws for 1 year. Then 2 years later, you have platform. Now, what is always, I can't think of a single time it didn't happen. Somebody gets up, motion to suspend the rules to do blah, 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 so say it, and we want to, for this. And they go, okay. So they go in and they'll change whatever they want. Why? Because they're in convention. That is the highest authority. Where else do you go? You know, it's a constitutional convention. That's how the Constitution first got started. They had Articles of Confederation, and under the guise that, well, we need to send delegations from each of the states, and we'll work out weights and measures. You know, we're going to go metric system or imperial or what? You know, are we going to, you know, at least they did the money digital. You know, it's a tenth of a cent instead of this pound and farthing and whatever the hell they did and quid and what? You know, so it was based on a decimal system. You had $1 broken up into 100 cents, and then you had, you know, and it went that way easy to do math. So I'm going, cool. You know, that's easier than not. So that was the concept and the ruse under which they were going to go into convention. Well, once they got into, you know, the representatives of the state convention, we got a whole new government. Whole new government. Thanks for playing. Yep. All right. So that's what they're working on. Well, I wanted to go ahead and make sure that we have, we talk about the Salomon the Rothschild thing, because Richard Grove, when he delves into something, he's always learnifying us. Salomon de Rothschild toured north and south of America from 1859 to 61, collecting intelligence on both sides and writing summaries and recommendations to support the Confederacy back to his family members in London, Paris, and Frankfurt. Now, the Rothschilds, they're, you know, big banking interest or whatever, and later get in the oil business and stuff too, but it was banking. His descriptions of the Civil War, their reasoning of both sides, and the overall banker's perspective, seeing that both sides would exhaust themselves, neither would be vanquished and worse off from the conflict than they were prior to the war, are some of the most valuable insights on the nature of the Civil War and why we're in danger today of repeating the same mistakes if we don't stop to learn what's going on. This book tour features context and references for the secret origins of the Civil War, and it contains insights which can help extinguish the flames of social ire going on, ongoing, you know, since forever. Artifact description. Now, whenever he finds this stuff or gets a book, he always calls them artifacts. A casual view of America, the home letters of Solomon de Rothschild, 1859-1861, edited by Sigmund Diamond and published by Stanford University Press in 1961. Link to Richard's History Blueprint Brain Model. You go to tragedyandhope.com/the-brain. But you go to tragedyandhope.com, you'll see in the top up there, TNH Brain. The brain is a... it's like a neural connection. Over the years, decade that he's done this, it has been, you'll put down Solomon de Rothschild, or you put this book and it'll be there, and then you'll see all the branches, all the family members, or you click on one of them and then they branch out and branch out and branch out. If you start going, and all it is just links to either documents, books, wiki pages, websites, you know, it's constantly updated. And it's just a tapestry. If you get in there and you get sucked in, man, you ain't getting out. It's like, wow, this has been going on for a while. So he inserted, we have it on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. You put it at the top, Donna, is it up there?
Yes.
Okay, so we have at the top of Freedom's Phoenix right now, if you go, he has an hour and a half, 1 hour, 28 minutes, and 37 seconds. So 90 minutes almost of 88 minutes. 89 minutes of him going over this book and telling you everything. Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that Richard produces, and he does a really good job of it. So I encourage you. I haven't watched it yet. We had talked about it. I'm going to go for an hour and a half. I get learnified. Well, hell, that's better than 25-hour, you know, projects that he puts up there. Oh, man. Well, this one, hour and a half. So I'm going, all right. I can get learnified on that. So we're going to go ahead and do that today when I got time and the headset and out and mowing lawn or something. So this will be very interesting because this has been going on for a long time. And they knew the bank. They go, yep, let me see what's going to happen in America. It's going to be neither side will be vanquished. They'll exhaust themselves. It'll be a big, giant war. And how might we benefit from this somehow? What's going to come out after? Let's take a look at this. So... this is the Rothschilds. Yep. On to today. You know, this genie energy thing, I'm telling you, we reported on it first in 13, so like 5 years ago. So when I saw that, you know, they were, you know, a lot of the serious stuff's going on in Israel, and now they're making overtures to Russia and Syria to say, look, you need to just kind of seed it over and just, you know, quit defending these Ahabs because, damn it, we're the Jewish homeland of we get and we want it, and it's ours. So just get over it and let us have it. Because. So I don't know what's going to happen, but what kind of art of the deal is there going to be? What if they go, all right, we'll let you have this, but then forever and always you sign, you don't, and the Palestinians get and whatever, and your Syrian oil will more than pay for it and whatever, and, you know, get a royalty check from Cheney or something. It's art of the deal. It's going to be some deal. And that's one thing that Trump did here recently in the last month or two. He's going on about, yep, we're making headway on Palestinians, and I don't care. You can have a single state, two state solution or whatever. I don't care. As long as both sides happy, you happy, you happy, good. What do I care? Art of the deal. Then we're going to make it as a deal. Well, when? What timeline? Nope, don't play timelines. Whenever. You know, you make me forever president and I'll fix it someday. You know, but I think Trump, it's all about branding. He's keeping his brand alive, keeping it alive. Well, I'm wondering who might follow after Trump. Who's going to take on, you know, the mantle? Who's going to do it? I mean, it'd be Ivanka. I mean, how would she fare? Melania. You know, there's been a lot of other countries that have done that. They flip off between, you know, presidents. You know, it'd be the president and then his wife and then him. I don't know. I think, is it only two terms in a lifetime or two consecutive presidential terms? But there's Trump endorses somebody and says, yeah, this guy. Who might that guy be? Do we want Mike Pence? You know, is he sitting there just waiting for his turn? You know, what role is he playing? I'm, you know, in the Mueller investigation, they're starting to wind down a lot of the investigation. You know, this guy tasked from the FBI to do whatever, this DOJ lawyer of something, they're starting to disband it. You know, so what's going on? And we're going into the midterms. And everybody's waiting for, well, it's October. You know, it's got the, you got the, you know, the October surprise for us. What's a surprise? Surprise me. What are you going to surprise me with? So this is interesting. And, you know, that's why I say, are you not entertained? Okay. So, yeah, let's pull up his video and see. I got to go to YouTube. Now do that. Yeah, the history blueprint. There's Richard Grove going on about this, about that. And he, you know, puts in, oh, and he got his cameras all set up and he's sitting there reading straight from the artifact, the book. Going over this stuff. See, this is cool. You get a lesson. He's like, yep, see what he said here and what he did. And I'm going, wow, this is an awesome hour and a half book report. You get an A+. We haven't even started it yet. So we'll do a report on his report of the book report. So that'll be interesting. The next week, I think Donna's starting to fill it up already. Before she gets it all too full, you know, I want to get into some more tech. Because there's a lot of changes in the internet, the infrastructure of the internet itself, a lot of different offers and solutions and decentralized order. I want to do a report. I think Derek's looking at it on Tim Berners-Lee and what he's doing to go decentralized. And I remember in the article, they at the end, they're going, well, you know, how you coordinate and work with and, you know, Google and Facebook. And he goes, we're not asking their permission. And that was the end of it. Boom, done. As if he needed to. And that was kind of the implication that they gave. Well, you worked it out with your, you know, these guys, these whales over here, don't care about them. They built themselves on them co-opting the whole idea of freedom that we tried to, yeah, screw them. I'm like, really? Well, once you have this whole new internet, all these different platforms and apps, it's like Android. When Android came out, it was the first you had the iPhone, which, you know, was, you know, blockbusting and everybody got to have it. And then they went to the smartphones with Android. So Android comes out and they have within a year, it was something stupid, like 100,000 apps. Now, the iStore, the iPhone, they have tighter controls and you can only, and you're not allowed to, and the interface with you got, but the Android phone was more of an open platform. You could make up your own and load your own. It's like a computer. Well, it ran, you know, a stripped down version of something, the operating system for it. Well, I remember there were so many apps. You know, we have apps. We have the Declare Your Independence radio app. It downloads. We have the app for the silver calculator. We have the app for Freedom's Phoenix Headline News. And then it's not updated. It's not available on the Play Store. Somebody, you know, needed to reload it. They got another phone. I can't download the app. The Play Store, it needs to be I told the IT guy, I don't care. The guy that wrote it, I go, I don't care. Screw them. Go ahead and get it to where, you know, I'd rather you spend your time on working on the decentralized interface with of not their internet. You know, we'll just take and promote it on a different store or index listing of, or we'll make it available straight from the site to go right into whatever, and we're working on that now. It's one of the projects. And because I'm not investing any more time in these guys. I'm not, because I don't have to. So I'm not. So this is it's a philosophical decision on my part. Does it cost us traffic? Probably. But our traffic's up. And why? I don't know. Don't care. You can see the manipulation of everything all the time anyway. It doesn't matter. We're looking to plant our flag on a new planet. And we were saying, yep, we're here and on top of the hill. We got to the top of the hill first. Na, 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 na. You know, if we develop and do where we think the hockey puck's going to be, Wayne Gretzky coached the Phoenix Coyotes, which is our, you know, Valley hockey team. And Phoenix has a hockey team and no one cares. But yeah, that's a whole nother ripoff they did of their stadium thing. Whatever. I got to tell you this. To keep the hockey team here, they had to guarantee them some kind of revenue. And to put the stadium in Glendale, they really wanted to have a stadium real bad, and we got to have a stadium. When they did the football stadium in Glendale, it was sponsored by the University of Phoenix. Well, that pissed them off. The name of the damn stadium's got Phoenix in it. And they were, oh, the West Side stepchildren, if we don't get any respect. I mean, that's been the whine forever. Well, they got their hockey team and their stadium, and part of the deal is that if you guarantee the seats get filled, if you guarantee revenue, we can't guarantee we're going to stay, or why would we even stay in Phoenix? We don't have enough money we can pay to get the best player to be competitive, of yada, yada, yada. So the city of Glendale guaranteed them some kind of revenue to the point, last time I checked, a few years ago, the city gave the Phoenix Coyotes $40 million, as I remember. Yay. But Phoenix has got a hockey team. Did you even know that? Better. We're paying for it. So it's like you can't make this stuff up. So I don't want to be and what Wayne Gretzky I got on that one. Wayne always said, he goes, you don't, you know, what makes you so great? You're not the fastest skater on the planet, even though you're fast. You're not the most this, the most that, the most that. What made you so great? He goes, because I never skated to where the puck is. I skated to where I knew it was going to be. So that's what we're doing. We're skating to where we know the puck is going to be. And it's going to be not here. Not on all this stuff. Not. They'll try and stop it if they can. But there's enough technology out there that we are the internet. We can do that. And when it hits satellite, ones and zeros going up, not through them. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be the same. And it's going to have monopoly enforced by a gun through government. You are not allowed to compete, and you have to only do that. They're going to, pirate the concept of ones and zeros relaying information. Using electronic transmission of data over anything is... hours, so sayeth the company of Next. You know, I of course, you know, you think they wouldn't? They're already doing it. They're making it more difficult. What happens when you go outside, above the grid? Then what? I don't know. I think we're going to find out, though. And I'm excited about it. You know, I'm like, yeah, let's play. Na, 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 na. So we're getting ready for that. That's where we're spending our time. And there's a lot of stuff happening pretty quickly here. That's one reason why we ordered so many laptop stickers and did the book thing and got some more flyers and handouts and business cards and all that kind of. We're getting stocked up for this next year. You know, when they came last night, we had I was up till 1 in the morning. You know, from the night before, I didn't get much sleep. So, man, I'm running on bulletproof. And Phoenix Crypto needed some T-shirts. And they go, well, can you do, because I got a T-shirt thing out here, and they needed them right away. So I go, well, yeah, you know, we can do it. You know, you go here, get the screen, have your artwork, do this, do that. You know, get the inks and get this clean, you know, God, we'll go over here and let's do it. So we wound up, and it became a thing. And they come up with, like five screens and overlapping close registration colors of three color. Well, I'm going, man, you guys really wanted to tax my, all right, well, let's, you know, get over here and help me. Let's do it. So it took us 4 hours to just do 20 shirts or something, 20, because they had so many impressions. You want to get it crisp, so you got to dry it with the infrared thing before you do the next layer of the, that just takes time. So I'm going, look, man, you know, it's a onesie color on the front or back, and you just whip them bad boys out, and they got a cool logo. The Phoenix Crypto logo is kind of cool. And so we're like, all right, you know, I'll help you out. So they had a thing this Saturday, some, God, what is it? It was a, I remember, Best of Phoenix, the New Times. New Times is like the progressive weekly tabloid here. And they do like a gazillion copies, I don't know, 100,000 copies and claim 500,000 circulation because, you know, everybody reads over their shoulders, I guess. So they, when we had a restaurant, they come in, hey, we want you to be a Best of Phoenix. Pizza place, restaurant, delivery, kind of, but you're Best of Phoenix. And I go, really? Yeah, well, thanks. You know, who had the pizza? It is awesome pizza, isn't it? You know, they go, no, we don't care. Just give us money and we'll say you're the Best of Phoenix. And I go, oh, okay, that's how it works. All right. So they we did some advertising. Well, this package you get listed in, it's a Best of Phoenix. And then they have a big black tie gala and they go and they pat each other on the back that they have enough money to pay New Times to be the Best of Phoenix or something. So I'm like, seriously, is that how this works? So that's what they're having this big gala there, and they bought in to go there. So here, the big reason is because it has a lot of restaurants. So they want to find new locations to put in ATMs. And then, you know, the FBI, eh, what's up? You know, I'm telling you, it's a game. It's a game, a game, a game, a game, a game. It's not just force. It's the threat of force. Force or threat of force. That's why in the Libertarian Party prime directive, I do not advocate the initiation of force or threat of force for political, social, economic gain. So, you know, non-aggression principle is, they call it the NAG at one time, non-aggression guideline. You know, it's a guideline. You know, they don't like principle. That means you can't break it. We need a guideline. Yeah, you know, the Bill of Rights, it's a guideline for government. It's got a guideline. And I heard that from a lot in the midnight, no, it was 2000 to about 2004-5. That was a mantra at city halls. Well, the Bill of Rights, it's kind of a, it's a guideline. Wow. It's not in stone. Well, it is here in Arizona at the state capitol. They got the Bill of Rights and big stone monoliths. You know, each amendment has its own, you know, like 8 foot high monolith with engraved on it. It's in freaking stone now. You know, I wonder if any activists have gone down or defaced any one of them. I think there'll be a bunch of liberals going out there and taking a hammer and chisel to the Second Amendment or something. You know, you don't know. I don't know. You might check on that. See if it's been vandalized. I wonder if they got security cameras on there. You know, and if they see you do it, you know, the government sends you a check because you did it. You know, that's it. Don't laugh, man. It gets crazy. So, what else is in the news? We got a few minutes here. You know, I'm blazing through the breaks. I'm not hearing the network. You know, go see if the network's up or just doing it. Because I'm, you know, I'm looking at the camera. I don't hear the breaks. And I go, I'm just blazing through the breaks. And it says it's connected. You know, the network. All right. So, you just get more Ernie. Nah. I'm good with that. Well, what we're go to the front page. We'll just hit the headlines real quick before we get to our guest in the next hour. So what shall we talk about? All right. We got the Rothschild book, you know, doing the book report on that. Trump is on his hero's journey, and I'm a crazy mother effer, and he's with Kanye talking about President Trump. In the White House, cursing like this and doing kind of, you know, doesn't surprise anybody on either side, but you know, I tell you, and that was Jim Brown, you know, the football hero. I think it was the Cleveland Browns, wasn't he? And so he's doing some stuff in inner city and education, and he got to go visit with Trump and Kanye. And all the press is in there. Now, I remember there was a scene from The Rose with Bette Midler. Was it The Rose? No, not The Rose. Yeah, I think it was The Rose. And Bette Midler goes to, or no, it was, anyway, it was about with Hershey. They had, she died of cancer and she went on to be a Broadway star. And no, it wasn't The Rose. That was another thing. It was, anyway, it was a movie with Bette Midler. And I remember she's going on, she's doing really well in New York on Broadway and so on. And her friends come and she goes, oh, we do this and this and this. No, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. Oh, but enough about me. What do you think of me? Well, that's kind of what it's like with Trump. Yeah, you know, enough about you talking about me. Well, you know, now what do you think of being in the White House Oval Office? You know, so now, you know, how freaking rad is this? And you get to be, what do you think of that? You know, I'm, you know, so it's, I think Trump was kind of being upstaged. You know, Kanye, he's, you know, and he, I think he handled it well enough from what I saw. He's like, yeah, just let him go, man.
All right. There's going to be ramifications. I'm interested in what's going to happen in the midterms. You know, they're wanting to make you feel afraid that, you know, either side's going to win, but, you know, the left takes over the House. They're going to impeach Kavanaugh, impeach him, impeach, impeach, impeach. It's just obstructionist, whatever. And I don't have a problem being an obstructionist when you think you need to obstruct something. But I am what the mood is. And then it doesn't matter to me because I don't trust the electoral process system. I just know better. And, you know, they'll go and beat up old men in the street for being white. You know, you got a red hat on, whether it says anything on it or not, red hat. It's like, you know, and that's one thing Kanye said. He goes, it's like blue and red. It's like the blood in the Crips. I went through this. You know, this is crap. You know, so I don't see this ending anytime soon. But the midterm elections, they want to give you the impression, and certain lamestream media, the media so last century, they're really about what? The left's going to take it over. They're going to get the House, and they're going to this and that. Well, they keep pissing off Trump's base in a midterm election. It may be surprising if you believed in the system. I don't. So I just got to separate myself out and just, I'm not worry about it. That's just the way it is. Yeah, but it may not be playing break. Shit, yeah, I'm still on the network. But all right, whatever. I don't hear the commercials. I've just been rambling on. The post office wants to raise the fees it charges Amazon and other shippers. Proposed a 9 to 12% increase in fees for shipping service used by Amazon just months after President Donald Trump criticized United States Postal Service, saying it gives Amazon too good of a deal. Okay, is it subsidizing? I mean, that's one thing. Why is there the post office? Why, you know, you have, I go and I buy a mailbox, I put it in front of my house, and it belongs to the government. I'm like, kiss my butt. And I can put whatever what? But it's so that people don't just put a bunch of solicitations in there. They're opening your mailbox and putting stuff in. So a lot of people, they have two mailboxes, or they have, you know, certainly in more rainier climates, they have the newspaper round tube thing that they put the newspapers in so they don't get wet. So I've got solicitation. I'll do that. I'll get a second post office. All solicitations go here. Surprise me. I mean, you know, I don't care. Bring it on. Rand Paul wants to cut military aid to Saudis until missing journalist is found alive. Oh. There's a rumor in a show surveillance, and he checked in, but he didn't check out, a Saudi that worked for, I think, the Washington Post or something, and he's a journalist, and they didn't like it none too much, and they had a hit squad going and chopped him up in little pieces and did whatever. So we were like, what? So they're, you know, talking about that. But the real reason we should break with the Saudis by his dad, Ron Paul. You know, the disappearance of a Saudi journalist in Turkey, I think into the Saudi embassy, has led to a global outcry against the Saudi government, particularly against Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The Senate has sent a letter to President Trump demanding U.S. action. There's action. How about not having foreign entanglements? How about that? How about that? The real truth of... I'm not getting feed from the internet, from the network coming this way. Well, that as long as it's going out on the app, I don't care. The real truth behind Kanye West and Donald Trump by Luke Radowski on We Are Change. In this video, we give you the latest breaking news on the real truth being Kanye West and Donald Trump meeting behind it at the White House yesterday. Really? Media losing their minds over Kanye Trump meeting. Losing their minds. Well, this is Mark Dice, you know, has this to say about that. Okay. Another breaking news by Luke. He did Total Online Censorship is Here. In this video, Luke and We Are Change are joined by Dan Dix, whose Press for Truth Facebook page was taken down abruptly amongst over 800 others without warning. It seemed that Total Online Censorship is Here. Press for Truth? Now, we know Dan Dix. We see him at different events and so on. He does good work, and he just took down his Facebook page. It's on! This is what I've been talking about. You know, where are you now? Where's his research on where to be next? Where's he going to post? What's he going to... They take down YouTube, and they freak out because they weren't ready. Well, we're trying to get ready. All right. We'll be right back and get this network thing dealt with, and we'll have our next guest, Daniel Palmer. Liberty done right. All right, we're going to find out how to do it right from him. We'll be right back.